Sí, lo supongo.
Fine.
Yeah, sounds good.
Does it?
Yeah, you sound chipper.
I do?
No, you don't.
Oh.
So, tell me how you really feel.
Was it Craig?
Hey,
what's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What is up?
Oh, you're doing it wrong.
We're getting into my health month. My hell month is all.
Oh.
I'm busy doing things.
It's the hell month.
Hell month.
Tim!
What did Tim do? Rules don't apply to Tim.
Where else would you put your beans other than the fridge?
We have two. We have two fridges.
There's a beans fridge and a non-beans fridge?
There's definitely a food fridge, and there's definitely a drink fridge.
Oh, okay. All right.
And rules don't apply to Tim.
And nary the two shall mix.
I mean, they can, but just for a ton.
You guys,
Tim, do what Tim wants.
Tim, do now. Tim talked like Tarzan. You guys are fancy. You got two fridges.
Are we fancy?
That's pretty fancy.
Or do we drink a lot?
Well, yeah, you drink a lot, but you're also fancy because you drink fancy drinks. Yeah. Oh, hey, welcome to week 657 of the Crankcast.
Jeez.
Yeah. Exciting, isn't it? Or something.
I'm going to murder somebody on week 666.
Holy shit. Not showing up for that week.
You sure you can hold off, Ellen?
Yeah.
Is this where you finally do Sean in before he does the rest of you in?
I have to get him. That's preemptive strike.
Right. Oh, but he's a married man, so the stakes are up.
For who?
Well, for him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and the tragedy is that much greater.
People need to fear me. It's pretty much, I need to put it out there that people need to fear me.
Oh, you're not kidding?
Shut up. What? No, I'm not kidding.
There'd be a creative murder.
Well, that's not going to happen. My juice is gone.
You ain't got no mojo?
I got no mojo. My juices are gone. Ain't got no juice.
It's not a good slasher film, but it might don't kill people. Cool.
Yeah. It's more like those weird 80s slasher movies where, like, they showed you who the dude was right from the get-go. And
there's so many of those. I hate it when that happens.
There's not even really much like suspense in it. The guy just walks around
it's
killing
so
people.
So dumb.
It's gonna be more like an after-school special. It might go crazy.
Going crazy.
What not to do? Now,
trust a blank.
Speaking of after-school special type things like that, there was one I remembered seeing when I lived in Florida, and it was notable to me because it featured a building and a fountain. Apparently, it was done in Mount Healthy. Filmed in Mount Healthy. And I could have sworn it had something to do with post-World War II, like, Jewish immigration and integration into society in America or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
that happened.
But when I went to go try to find it, like, using IMDb and online sources for after-school special stuff, nothing. I got nothing. And I'm not even entirely sure it happened. You know, unless maybe I'm in an alternate timeline.
That's a weird thing to make up, though.
Well, it is, because I remember seeing, I think my parents remembered seeing it, but they don't really remember details about it.
Well, I mean, it probably happened, dude.
I mean, this was like in, 1985 or 6 or whatever, whenever the fuck it was. I live in Florida.
Probably happened.
But
I thought that I dreamt Bigfoot and Wild Boy for the longest time, but that happened.
You actually saw them?
No, the TV show, you dumbass.
There was a TV show?
We've gone through this.
Okay. Was that in an alternate timeline?
No. Ran for one season. It was a Sid and Marty Krofft production.
Oh.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Okay.
Bigfoot adopts an orphan in the American Northwest.
Can Bigfoot actually adopt? I mean, is that legal?
Well, he didn't officially adopt him. He just took him in.
There's already legal precedent with Peabody and Sherman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the kid that got adopted by the wolves.
By the what?
The wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The OG animal adoption.
OG animal adoption.
Right. Okay, well, all right. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it?
Yeah. For the sake of conversation, you know, I'll allow it. But, yeah, anyway. So, memory's a tricky thing, man, because I'm not convinced it happened now. Because I can't find any information to back me up, and I refuse to believe in alternate timelines.
Well, I appreciate that about you.
It's hard, though, because, like, for filming locations, it's just going to say Cincinnati, right?
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess it would, but Mount Healthy is actually outside of Cincinnati, so it's not even, like, in the city limits or anything.
So you're not from Cincinnati.
Well, it's the big city that's here, you know? I mean, so I'm from here. It's like everybody in Michigan's from Detroit, you know? Or Ann Arbor. Like,
I say I'm from Memphis, but I lived in Memphis. I didn't grow up there, but I lived in Memphis for a long time.
Yeah. Well, is Ravenswood technically still Chicago?
Yes.
I mean, is that, like, in the city limits of Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
City limits go far.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not...
We are all Chicagoans in here.
Yeah.
Nobody here lives outside of the city.
And much like most Chicagoans, you're all transplants.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that weird?
So weird. Your face is weird.
Where are all the native Chicagoans? Are they in hiding? Do they leave Chicago? Because they're like, man, these people are stupid. Like, what happens to the native Chicagoans? Who are you displacing by being a transplant?
There are a lot of them here.
Oh, the only native Chicagoan I ever remember meeting was Jim.
Oh, there's tons of them.
Yeah, sure.
The Bud is from here?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The Bud?
The Bud.
The Kind Bud.
The Budnick. The Kind Bud.
I bet he is the kind.
I don't think he has a problem.
That's awesome.
Huh. Yeah, but... All right, still, though. I mean, what? You can name, like, a handful of them, right?
Yeah. A lot of my friends are.
Oh, some of your best friends are Chicagoans, huh?
I said a lot of my friends,
not best. Sean doesn't have best friends.
Don't put that kind of pressure on him.
Sorry. Why didn't you were sensitive to that, man? I thought we were best friends, dude.
Sean doesn't have friends.
It's a lot of pressure to be my best friend, man.
From you or to you?
Both.
Oh, okay.
He requires a lot.
They have to help me with this trip, planning for my trip to Mars.
All right. Well, good luck on that.
I guess you're not.
I got two friends, Elon and Jeff.
Elon and Jeff.
Do they know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a weird discussion.
Hey, you started it.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my fault. In that case. So, do you ever say something, have you ever said something like as an offhand remark and then realize after the fact that it was truer than you meant it to be?
Specify.
Well, last night I was making a dumb joke on Twitter. And I was talking about Last Starfighter. And I made two dumb jokes, and it's the second one that I'm thinking of. Where I said, you know, most people commonly, you know, or mistakenly call Alex Rogan the Last Starfighter when really he's the Last Starfighter's monster. And that's nothing. It was just an offhand stupid joke, you know? But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, but he really is. Because technically, you know, the Last Starfighter was the ship, right? And, you know, the reason they got Alex Rogan was because the whole society of people were, like, abhorrent of killing things. So they needed a monster. Like somebody that could kill and stuff.
You know? You are reaching both with your analogy and with your initial joke that started this analogy.
Well, like,
they are both barely what you are saying they are.
I said it was a dumb joke. It is a dumb joke. It's not like I'm blowing that up any.
You are correct. But, it is a dumb joke.
But
I would say it's not even really a joke because it doesn't make much sense.
Well, it's a joke on the fact that so many people got so uptight and started correcting everybody when they were doing Frankenstein and Frankenstein Monster. Yeah,
right. But there's nothing to correct in your premise, though.
Right. I'm pointing out how silly it is to correct it even in the original. It doesn't matter. It's a long joke, Mike.
Do you remember that page in Love Bunny and Mr. Hell?
Yeah, and you thought that was funny?
Everybody thought it was funny.
What is funny about it?
It's hilarious.
It was like 18 panels of the same thing.
It was 9, I think, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm starting to think you guys all just say it's funny just because, you know.
No, we're not trying to bug you, Craig. We love you, Craig.
You were totally Golden Girls in this.
What's Golden Girls in it?
Acting like you really like it. Or like it means something.
Golden Girls was good.
Okay, whatever.
You like all these other shitty sitcoms, but you don't like Golden Girls.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, granted,
like, I make fun of Julie's shows, but I do it knowing full well that I have no room to stand on anything.
Well, hold on a second. For one thing, what I do or do not like does not mean anything when it comes to comparisons to a single show. Like, just because I like something doesn't mean I should like something else. I mean, that's
I'm with you on that. That
is a non-argument meant to diffuse anything I'm saying, you know?
I think you have a point. I think we all have points.
And now, I will qualify this by saying I have not seen Golden Girls as an adult. So maybe I would appreciate it as an adult.
I am stunned by that.
But, you know,
I want to know,
seeing it as a kid, why would I like it? Why would I have any good memories?
That's exactly what I'm getting to. I want to know what happened when you were a kid that made you hate that show so much.
Well, why would I like it? It's about a bunch of old people.
You can't relate to old people?
When I was like 7? No?
You did when I was 7, or whatever age I was when I was on.
Well, that's weird, John.
What? No, it's not weird. Stop it.
Watch Newhart. That's a fucking old guy. He was as old as them.
That's a good point.
But the show wasn't just about him. It had Stephanie on it, and what's his name? The goofy guy?
The show wasn't just about the three ladies and Golden Girls. They had an extra neighbor.
Yeah, but it was 90% them the whole time, and they're like old and in retirement home. And
I think you have a thing about old people.
They were old, but they still had current day problems. That was constantly what the deal was.
What current day problems did you have when you were 7 that you recognized?
I think Crank.
The same that fucking every other show has.
Crank has a thing about old people. We're getting to it now.
I think you're confusing. You're conflating your current understanding of the show with what you thought when you were a kid. Because there's no way you got half the jokes in that, right?
Well, I didn't get half the jokes of any sitcom on TV.
Yeah.
Crank.
All right, I'm just going to stop now because we're not going to see each other's point in this.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. And it became one of those knee-jerk things where all of a sudden everybody liked Golden Girls and Golden Girls was on T-shirts everywhere and shit like that. And it's like, come on.
I do think that's kind of funny and weird. But
well, the reason it was on T-shirts is that the gay population... That sounded weird.
Why does that sound weird? There is a gay population.
There's something about that place.
It's because of the gay population.
There's a big, you know, they have a strong following for Golden Girls, so that T-shirt became popular because of that.
Right, but you know, I mean, I think the point of that following is sort of in a kitschy way. It's not. I honestly enjoyed this way.
I don't think that's true.
Huh.
Hmm. This is interesting. I'm more interested in your vehement hatred for the show.
It's not the show I hate. It's the thing of all these people liking it that I don't understand because they're
okay,
like.
It's not the show that you hate. It's that people like it that you hate.
I don't hate anything. I don't understand it, and it aggravates me. You, I'm starting to hate.
Oh, Cranky, I love you.
I don't hate you.
I know.
But what I'm saying is I don't understand, and like people defend it to the death like it's some sort of legitimate thing or something, you know?
What's the
it was also one of those shows that, yes, you have the people who are actually fans of it, because, but it became one of those shows that people who maybe watched, like, an episode of it would, like, go on like it's their favorite show.
Do you think the original fans of the show were...
fans were way worse than both.
Yeah, Frasier fans are weird, too.
Yeah, probably. But I don't see Frasier fans, like, all over the place. I don't. It never quite took off as the Golden Girls fan.
Which repeat has been nonstop Frasier for like a year.
Really?
You have to turn off that Frasier setting, man.
You do. You got to turn off the Frasier setting. Yeah,
there is a Frasier tick box. And
Frasier showed up on like Netflix or something, and everybody went buck wild for Frasier.
Huh? Now see, I.
Like, 2 years ago, when everybody started watching Friends again.
What? People are watching Friends again?
Yeah.
That wasn't a good show the first time around. I'm trying to think. Like, Frasier, I didn't like it as a kid, and I did like it as an adult. So, but I understand why I didn't like it as a kid, because it wasn't for kids. You know, I didn't get it. So all I got from it when I was a kid was just that it was a boring, like, interaction between adults that I didn't really understand. Nuances. You know, stuff like that.
Just, I do feel like there's a lot of things that people, like, just rave about that they like, but then if you're, like, hanging out and we're just, hey, you want to throw this on? They'd just be like, no. I'm not in the mood.
That's good. I just watched some last night, you know.
Yeah. It's like, what? I thought this was one of your favorite shows. No, yeah. I'll watch it later.
I mean, yeah, and I don't know, whatever. And if you like it, you like it, whatever. It's just I don't understand it, and I suspect it, and I think that's what aggravates me, is because I think it's a pretense or a put-on or an affectation, you know? But if you legitimately like it, you do, and that's whatever. You know, that's fine.
Legit!
I like a lot of kooky shit that other people probably don't think as highly of, so.
Probably.
You know. I've never really run into all that many Tales of the Gold Monkey fans.
Most people don't know it existed.
Yeah, well, wasn't on that long. I've never really run into somebody that's seen Hackers as many times as I have.
Yep, that's true.
Stuff like that, you know, I don't know, whatever. And I understand if people don't, you know, whatever.
Why do you hate everything?
I don't.
When did you start hating everything?
I don't.
At what age did you become a hater?
I don't. Shut up.
Shut up!
Stop with your accusations and incriminations. Or is that recriminations?
I do what I want.
Stuff like that.
I do what I want.
So... anyway, I don't know. How was your weekend?
Oh, it's all right. I worked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
No, I worked.
It was free comic book day.
Oh, yeah. I had to go free comic book day at Dark Tower.
Oh, that was work.
Yeah, that was work. And then I went home and I worked.
Mm. How was everybody's free comic book day?
It was fine.
It was fine. It's full of comic books.
Right on.
Yeah, Sean spent like 17 hours at whatever that Third Coast Comics.
Where's that at?
Nolf.
Near Loyola, like almost to Evanston area.
Oh, okay. That would explain that I never went there, so, but I think I've heard it mentioned before.
They do a good job.
That place that was down by where I lived on Addison, that's not still around, is it? That little comic shop? It was like Addison and Montrose, I think?
Oh, I don't think so.
Addison. No. No, that's not.
Oh, okay.
Are the paintings still there?
You're talking about Variety Comics.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
No, you're...
No?
Frank is talking about...
it was like right next to the Quickie Mart on the corner. I think, or like at least close to the corner, but it was right down. It was on Montrose, but it was Montrose and Addison.
Montrose and Addison, that doesn't make sense. You mean
not Matt Damon.
Ashland?
Ashland. Ashland, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Ashland is what I meant.
Yeah, that's gone. And Variety Comics is on Wilson and Western.
Oh.
You guys, they're both gone.
Was Variety, that Variety was the basement place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It looked like you were stepping back in time when you walked down there.
Because you were.
But
you were.
Not necessarily in a good way.
He was a grumpy dude. He would, like, yell at you.
And it was kind of, I don't know. There was a lot of stuff in there, but it didn't seem like you could actually find much of anything.
Nope.
Is what if, I mean, that's the impression that I got anyway from being down there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, they're all. That's what he's talking about. There are all those paintings that faced the windows on the street or whatever, on the windows. I forgot about those. So anyway, free comic book day. Did you guys get free comic books?
I got that Ryan Otley Spider-Man.
How's that?
Yeah, I didn't see
that. It's pretty Spider-Man-ish.
I got the Adventure Time.
I was too busy cleaning my house.
Huh. How was the Adventure Time?
The art's really cool. I don't write it. Are these on... Do they put all the free comic book days on Comicology?
I don't know. A good question.
You would think they would, wouldn't you?
You would think that. You would think that.
I think Mile High was selling sets of them.
How was Star Wars Lost Stars?
I don't know. I had a doctor.
Oh,
manga!
Oh,
that's
cool.
Manga!
So, like, however many free comic books are out, like, I mean, it's up to the stores to buy what they want, right?
Y'all.
So, any given store might not actually have the complete whatever came out on free comic book day, right?
Yep.
That's why a lot of people have multiple stores.
So it is sort of like record store day.
Yeah, there was one guy, the guys that came into my store, that they had been all over the place already.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot of dedication just for some free comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I mean, I guess they're not free at that point because you're spending a lot of money getting around.
No.
Yeah.
Depends on how you look at it.
Those crazy collectors.
Crazy collectors!
What's with the, like, separating the comics into, like, different levels?
How do you mean?
Like, on the Free Comic Book Day website, you go into the comics, the, like, list of the comics, and they have, like, gold comics and silver comics.
Oh, that's age, isn't it?
No, it's the ones that came out for Free Comic Book Day this year.
Oh.
Isn't that more of a tier of publisher, like, who...
That's a weird way of doing things.
Yeah. But it's, like, people who signed up to do...
But that Amazing Spider-Man is on silver tier, and the Avengers one is on gold tier.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like it doubles due when you're trying to do a gold tier thing or something. I can't remember how it works.
Yeah, because there's like, it's definitely not a publisher thing, because there's like Oni books and stuff in there too, and they're, whatever you want to call it, not top tier.
Yeah, like the gold tier stuff was the Avengers, Captain America, Barrier from Image.
Oh, well, I see what it is, dude. The gold tier is probably what's most publicly recognizable. Because it's all stuff like Avengers has a movie out, Power Rangers, Overwatch, Disney Princesses, Doctor Who, Invader Zim, Pokemon.
Yeah, but then you got Adventure Time and Spider-Man in the silver tier. I'd say those are pretty recognizable.
Yeah, I guess maybe whoever's making the decision just thought they weren't as immediately recognizable right now.
Maybe. Confusion! Because
then in the silver tier, you got all kinds of crap going on.
Okay. There's a Tick comic. Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like a Tank Girl and a comic called Berlin, which has a cool cover.
Berlin is old.
Is it?
Isn't that Jason Lutz?
Yes, it is.
That's old. That's weird. Is that new? Is there New Berlin?
Well, yeah, the New Berlin's in Ohio somewhere, I think.
There's Ghost in the Shell comic?
Let's see. It's...
Notice I'm not laughing.
We moved right on from that
one. Gee, I don't know how I'll ever get over you're not laughing.
It's going to haunt you.
Yeah, I think it might haunt me.
It will.
Tokyo Pop did a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Tokyo Pop's still around?
The Berlin's old stuff, but it's got bonus stuff and a new interview with him, with Jason Lutz. And
really?
They're releasing it, and it's more or less an advertisement because they're releasing it in anticipation of the hardcover release in fall of 2018.
Interesting. Fascinating, Captain.
Yes, yes. Howard Lovecraft. Cthulhu?
The what?
I don't know.
Kachui?
Kachui! Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Why does it seem like there's so much love for Etrigan, but nobody ever goes and does something with Gargoyle?
Because Gargoyle didn't have the juice that Etrigan did.
But why is that?
A fun gimmick.
Etrigan?
Yeah.
Gargoyle was kind of like budget Etrigan. It wasn't that interesting.
Gargoyle was more tragic.
Is he?
I think
he
so.
He was a guy that got stuck like that, right?
Well, yeah, he made a deal, bad deal, and got stuck like that. But then he had to, like, you know, pay back his sins or whatever. You know? And he was an Avenger for Pete's sake, or a Defender, anyway. Sorry, he was a Defender for Pete's sake.
He was a Defender.
And a new Defender. Or was he strictly a new Defender?
A nude Defender?
Yes, he was the nude Defender. Hmm. Where do you expect a Gargoyle to find underwear, dude? Come on.
That's a good, good point.
I mean, that'd be pretty tough. There are a lot of free comic book day comics.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you still haven't sold me on Gargoyle.
No, he never will. But he just really loved Gargoyle.
Read the miniseries from the 80s.
No.
It's only 4 issues.
Only 4 issues?
4 issues.
4 issues. Oh. That's a series. That's not a miniseries.
It was an extended miniseries. well, it was what they called a maxi series back then, right?
Yeah. Back in the day when a maxi series was a thing.
Yeah.
It's called a series.
Yeah, today it's just called Your Run Got Cut after a year. Da dun dun. These kids today, they don't know the pain we went through back then. Mini series, maxi series, one shot specials. Oh, the horror.
The horror.
And those dang, like, movie adaptations that were, like, not quite magazine size and not quite comic book size. I guess they were, like, magazine size, weren't they? I don't know, they were bigger than magazine size.
Size were they?
They were like old school magazine size, like 50s magazine size or whatever.
I don't know, man.
That kind of somewhere in around the dimensions of like 12 by 14, you know?
Yeah.
That's how my comic adaptation of 2010 is. Anyway. What was the other one I had? I had another one. I think I still got it. I liked it a lot when I was a kid, but I don't remember what it is now. Oh, well. How many issues was Longshot? That was a 6-issue series, right?
6.
So, where was the defining line between mini and maxi series?
12 issues is maximum.
Okay. So anything up to 12 issues would still be a mini series?
Yeah.
I mean, most minis were 2 to 6 issues, right?
Yeah, I guess.
There were 2-issue things, I remember. The, wasn't the Alpha Flight X-Men crossover a 2-issue thing?
Yes.
Back then? It was like 2 double issues or something, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were 48 pages.
Okay, so technically it was a 4-issue mini, then.
Yeah.
Oh, back in the day.
Yep.
Although, I don't know. I mean, do they still do miniseries? Like Marvel and DC, I mean?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yeah.
I guess they do.
They did, what was that? Spider-Man was a miniseries?
I think that's Spider-Man's.
Is it Spider-Man?
No, I'm kidding.
When they crossed over Peter Parker with Miles Morales between interdimensionally.
That was only
maybe 4 issues. They did the Marvel Knights Spider-Man recently. Not recently. I think that was 3 years now. But yeah, that was a standalone that came out for 5 issues and then was collected in a trade at the end.
Huh.
So every now and then I think they do. If they want to get some different artists in or just...
That's what I was wondering. Because, I mean, they switch artists up so much now on, you know, regular series and stuff, it seems like. Like, I don't know. I just didn't know if, like, mini-series type things have fallen by the wayside. Mm.
I mean... I remember one of the problems that a lot of retailers don't buy miniseries, right?
Oh, is that it?
I don't.
Yeah.
Do they
so
wait?
A lot of people just call it an ongoing and then,
yeah.
And then end it.
But it, yeah, and things like that always kind of confuse me too, because it's like if you keep doing that, then the retailers just assume that every ongoing is going to be, well, I guess they can't assume every ongoing is going to be a thing, but...
If you're not by now, you're not doing a good job, because that's the way life is now.
Well, yeah, I mean, seriously, the average life expectancy of an ongoing is maybe a year anyway, though, right? Maybe
yep.
Two-ish?
I know that, you know, back when I was doing a lot more Marvel stuff, they were approving the stories in 6-issue chunks, so that's like, what, half a year?
Yeah. I mean, unless it's one of those ones that comes out every other month or something. But.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that even happen anymore? Comics that come out every other month?
Oh, I don't know.
Because that used to be a thing, too, I remember.
Oh, bi-monthly?
I thought bi-monthly meant every month, or twice a month.
That happens. It happens.
But yeah, the every couple of month comic, I remember. I mean, on purpose. There are comics that... Yeah.
Amazon books were advertised as bi-monthly.
That's true.
What was that about the advertisers?
It happens on a lot of books that aren't advertised as bi-monthly.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it happens on, you know, not on purpose a lot, but
I feel like when certain books do it, they have to really make a case for why they're not coming out. Like. That's what why am I blanking on the name of it? Barbarian dude with the beard.
That would be Headlopper.
Headlopper, yeah. Oh god, that just disappeared out of my mind.
I know, yeah, I know that, because I was looking at that model for Battlepug.
Yeah, coming out quarterly.
He does that, though, because they're oversized.
Oh, totally. That's what I mean, is you have to really have a case and a reason to do it, to get people to stick with it.
Anything by Sean Murphy.
Anything by Sean
Murphy. Yeah. And otherwise, it's like people are just going to fall off if they have to remember that a book comes out every, you know, so many months.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, another one of those things retailers didn't care for much. Like, wasn't that the whole impetus behind Hackslash going from a quarterly book to a monthly and all that back in the day?
I don't know.
I think
the point behind that was that you could make more money if it were a series. That's a long time ago already.
Yeah, yeah, that was a long time ago already.
It's really just like, you know, anything that... They just, like, the retailers just want to keep it as simple as possible for anyone coming into their store, and, you know.
Or more for themselves.
Well, yeah,
they
for them.
Change that culture.
Yeah.
You would think, though, that, because, you know, another thing that I've seen in, like, retailer reports or retailer conversations is, you know, the fact that A monthly book, especially a new monthly book, is really hard to gauge how to order subsequent issues when there's such a lead time on order versus sale.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that they would appreciate a book that came out once every 3 months, you know? Like, so that they could actually gauge the interest in it to order the subsequent issues of it, you know, or whatever.
I think there's often not that much foresight when you know, talking about what we could do with things. It's like, just keep it simple, what we've always done.
Yeah.
Try not to stray from that, even if it could be beneficial.
It's interesting that we're talking about this, because Ryan and Tim talk about this a lot.
Do they?
Yeah, and I am, you know, just starting to get into this because, you know, I've got like 3 of my own books coming out this year or next year, and I keep thinking to myself that I should be thinking about that, and it's not a bad idea to watch how stores order stuff, but if I thought that I could figure out this, like, how to sell a book like this, then I'm smarter than everybody else then.
Yeah.
Because nobody can. Nobody can do this. Yeah. To be able to do that is impossible. Nobody is able to do that.
Yeah, but why?
So I'm not even
the thing is it's all statistics and numbers, right? It's not like it's voodoo mysticism. I mean, you should be able to figure this out. Like, people, not you specifically, you know what I'm saying?
Yes and no.
This should be something fairly predictable within the limits of being able to predict, you know, public
taste.
Trying
to pick what somebody's going to buy is not a sure thing.
Right, but I mean, marketers have made a science of it in other fields, you know? That's what I'm saying. Like, it should be somewhat predictable, right?
Mostly, but that's, I mean...
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I know they've got, and I'm not even talking about like major stuff, because there's probably even fluctuation in like Spider titles, whether or not there's going to be interest in it or not, but, or Avengers, even though it's hot right now with a movie, you know, like.
You're a Spider title.
I'm a Spider tot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but like, you know, I know the more obscure it gets, probably the harder it is to figure out, right? When you've got like an unknown creator or a little known creator and a brand new title that's like maybe a little bit out there or something. Sure, I mean, that stuff's going to be weird, but I don't know. What do I know? I don't sell comics for a living. As if that's a real argument, because there's plenty of people who sell comics for a living that don't do it very well, too. And they go out of business, right? I mean, that's a thing.
That's the hardest thing that Image is constantly having to battle, is like, you get these really great stories and like interesting art, you know, art and writer team ups, but just because it's good art and a good story just doesn't necessarily mean it's going to sell.
Right. Who the hell's going to buy it, right?
It really sucks. It's like, it just.
Well, yeah, I mean, comics isn't a game of, you know, if you bring your best work, it'll automatically succeed. It doesn't, you know. I mean, really good things go under.
Yeah.
Or get, you know, ignored, or what, even if they manage to get published, get ignored, you know. Like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird. I guess if you can find your, I mean, that's the trick, really, is finding your niche of people, like your group, that core group that will keep buying your stuff, you know?
It's just hard because I feel like the problem with comics, too, is that the people who would be into certain stories don't walk into comic shops or learn that those stories are even out there pretty often.
Well, and that's, I've seen that as an ongoing discussion, too, is how do you reach out to the, you know, the people who aren't comic book people. Like, how do you get this in front of their eyeballs or whatever?
Yeah.
At least on a comic budget, how do you get this in front of their eyeballs?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like you can take out billboard ads or, like, you know, big page ads in a major newspaper or something, you know? Like, and even at that, what good would that really do necessarily?
It's so crazy because, like, you see all these really out there, weird you know, stories being told on things like, you know, Netflix and, you know, all these services scooping up new television shows.
Well, that's a different thing, though. People come... Netflix is a destination, not a...
Oh, totally.
You know, like, as comic shops aren't destinations for people wanting to see other stuff. Like,
yeah.
Netflix can afford to put something weird on there because people are already coming to Netflix for other stuff anyway. Like, and if comic shops were actually destinations for more people, they could probably afford to take a chance. But I think that's why a lot of retailers aren't, because it's their dollars they're playing with, so they're not really willing to take a chance on something that, you know, they might like, but they know it isn't going to sell to their crowd or whatever, right? You know?
Totally.
Because that's the other impression I get is that, you know, I mean, stuff's very regional, too, as far as, I mean, I guess you've got your standards, but as far as what other kind of tastes are out there, it's all, like, pretty regional to the shop.
Yeah.
But if you can find, like, I mean, because, you know, you got, like, Eric Larson's Savage Dragon. That's got a pretty core constituency. Is that the right word I'm looking for? Core fan base, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll keep buying that until he decides not to put it out, you know, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to get the impression that, you know, like, the God Hates Astronauts, like, Brian's got at least a X amount of people that will buy new GHA stuff, you know?
He definitely does have a following, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, you know, numbers or anything, so I'm not going to try to make that up, but...
I don't know. It seems to change depending on the mood he's in, how many there are.
We'll just say enough, I guess, you know,
yeah,
to put out a new, at least to do it through Kickstarter. Although I don't know if that's enough, again, because it's, like, regional and how, you know, available comic shops are to people, because sometimes they're not, you know, sometimes you have to, Chicago's lucky, they got a ton of comic shops, yeah. But, you know, a lot of places that people have to, like, travel really far to get to a comic shop. And, so if he were to, like, yeah, I mean, that's why GHA, I guess, does better as a Kickstarter than it does being published through a traditional publisher and sold through comic shops.
Right.
I'm trying to think, how long did it, the GHA through Image last? Was that just 12 issues?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Which, again, that's kind of typical. Like, you get maybe a year out of a series, you know?
Yeah.
I've been lucky. I've worked on a couple that have lasted longer than that. But even at that, I mean, the longest one was maybe Revival?
We stuck around for a while.
5 years? Something like that? Spread, at least Spread intentionally ended. It just didn't get canceled. But Spread was 25 issues, I think, which was spread out over like three and a half years or something like that, but, you know, taking time off for trade months and stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, oh well, how long have I been doing Rick and Morty? That's been going on pretty well, pretty long time. 2014 or something like that, I think.
I don't know if licensed things count.
I guess not, but I mean, I'm just saying, as far as like life of a series goes, it's, that's a thing, you know? I mean...
I mean, it depends on the license.
Say what?
So it really depends on the license, too, though,
right? Right, yeah. I mean, if Rick and Morty were to go into sudden public disfavor tomorrow, like the TV show, I'm not... Obviously, the comic's not going to last much longer, right?
I don't know what else they could do to get more public disfavor.
What have they done now?
Nothing now, but, I mean, they've already...
Their fans are like super fans.
Yeah, their fans are kind of awful.
Oh. Yeah, that is another property with a core fan base, though. But again, I wonder how much of that's just being able to mass communicate through the internet has changed a lot of stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Obvious statement of the week kind of thing. I know that's sort of a given at this point, but you know. There are fetish things that come and go in sort of a form of mass hysteria, almost, seems like.
Mm.
But that seems to have spread with, you know, everybody being able to communicate those word viruses online. So you get these, like, shifts of mass hysteria, but directed as, like, fanship of a product or whatever. I don't know. Smarter people than me have words for this stuff. I know good. I talk bad. But so it's not like the point I'm trying to make there is that I think that's different than, say, the fanship for Savage Dragon, which I believe is a legitimate long-term fanship, you know, fan base or whatever. Whereas I'm not sure Rick and Morty fans are going to remember it a couple years after it's over, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a week after they're done with it, you know, like. So.
Yeah, it was always interesting.
Not specifically
the letter section, just, you know, reading through just all the different, you know, just the way they would talk about the series. It was very different from a lot of other people writing in the series, I felt like.
And I mean, I don't mean to lay that on Rick and Morty fans, like, exclusively or anything. I think it's like that with a lot of trendy properties. Is that the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Transient properties? Transient fandom? And there's concepts here. I just can't place them in the right order. But, I don't know. Comics. That's where we're at. The making and putting out of. Fun. So, Mike, you got a birthday coming up.
What?
You got a birthday coming up.
So?
What you doing for your birthday?
I'm going to Milwaukee.
What's in Milwaukee?
Pugfest.
Oh, that's right. That's the weekend of your birthday?
It's on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Mike. Surrounded by pugs.
Yep.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Surrounded by pugs. It could turn into Night of the Lepus, but with pugs instead.
When's your birthday?
A long time from now. Which reminds me, since I got a new car back in November, just before my birthday, end of October, November, whatever it was, I went ahead and let my tags lapse on my old Nova, because I figured why buy them if I'm not going to be driving it for a while, right? I mean, just seems silly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm taking the car cover off, and I've been tinkering around with it to make sure everything's working okay, because I'm getting ready to sell it, and I don't want to, you know, sell it to somebody and have them die right away or something. And I'm considerate like that, you know, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of uncomfortable because I sort of need to, I'd rather drive it to the gas station than try to get a gas can and put gas in it. And plus I need to, been sitting under the car cover, so it's all dusty and weird and shit, and I'm going to kind of go wash it off, you know. And I'm like, I'm kind of uncomfortable driving it around with bad plates because, I mean, it didn't bother me when I was a kid for whatever reason. Well, like my second car, actually, it was this beat up old Monte Carlo that I got for like $100 or something like that, and I ran that thing on temp tags for like a year and a half. I just kept changing the date with markers.
Oh, Jesus!
Like, I don't remember exactly how I did it. I did it in some way that, with the tag sitting in the back window, it didn't look immediately obvious that it was wrong, except for. By the time I finally got real plates, this temp tag was, like, pretty faded from the sun. So that was probably a giveaway. But what I'm saying was, like, that didn't bother me when I was a kid, you know? Like, I was just like, oh, I'll change numbers. What the hell? You know, what are they going to do to me, you know? But now, for whatever reason, I'm a little more risk-averse as I've gotten older.
Because you've been caught.
No, I never was caught.
You never were?
No. I successfully ran temp tags for like a year or something like that, and then finally I just got tags because I think that was when they kicked in the EPA thing, the where you had to get the emissions tests and stuff like that. And I knew I couldn't get the temp tags through that because they have to record the license number and all that. So I finally went and got tags. Yeah. But so I, you know, it's not like I was caught or punished for it. I just. In general, the older I got, the more risk-averse I got. You know? Is that a function of getting old, or is that just something that happens to some people?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure that's part of it.
A little AMD.
Probably less likely to want to deal with shit.
Yeah, that's. I think that ties in, right? You get a little more used to simplifying things as opposed to going out of your way to get something that you have to fiddle with.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, like, you just don't want to... You want to concentrate more on what you're doing and not the process of what you're doing or whatever?
Sure.
Huh. Anyway, though, so I got to go get tags for this car so I can drive it around is my point. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know what? I might as well just get historical tags, right? Because I'm not really driving it daily anyway. And once you buy those, you just buy them once and then you're done. And I think it's cheaper to get them even initially than it is to get regular tags. So that seems like a good idea. I think I'm going to go get historical tags, you know?
Historical tags.
You'll see them on a lot of, like, they're not regular tags. In Ohio, I think they're green and they say historical vehicle. Like above and below whatever the tag number is.
How old does a car need to be considered a historical vehicle?
Weirdly, it's only like 20 or 25 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like technically the car I've got now, I could get historical plates on it. You know? And it's only, it's just a 90s car, you know.
I've got to keep my car going 7 more years.
And then you can get, well, I don't know what it's like in Illinois, though.
Yeah.
In Ohio, it's like 20 years, I think. And the thing about it is, though, is that you, with the historical tags, the point of those is that they're meant for cars that are only driven, like, to and from car shows or events like that, or, like, parades, you know, things like that. Like, you're not supposed to go, like, grocery shopping in it or use it as your drive-to-work car or anything like that. Apparently, yeah, you can get fined for it or whatever, some sort of traffic violation thing.
How do they know I'm not on my way to a parade?
I wondered that myself, and a lot of people have told me that, you know, they run historical tags on their cars and never got caught or never got busted or anything. Like on their cars that they drive, like, regular. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Probably if you've got a really old car, they'll just assume. Like, the car I'm talking about is from the 60s, so they probably just assume if I'm out driving it, I'm driving it somewhere, you know? If I had historical tags on it. But, like, if I were driving, like, my 96 Blazer, they probably, you know, would give that one a second look, I'd imagine, because...
I'm on my way to the Blazer show.
Say what?
You're on your way to the Blazer car show.
Yeah.
It's a meetup.
The Blazicon.
Yeah.
What, you never heard of Blazicon? We blaze up, dude.
They do them for,
Well, I know there is a fairly large S10 Blazer community, so.
You only see those, like, Corvette meetups, where all the guys driving their Corvettes to the same place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's Nova meetups. There's, when I used to have a Corvair, there was Corvair meetups. So, yeah, I mean, I guess technically there probably is some sort of Blazer group.
Get blazed!
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to blaze up. It just seems weird. I mean, I don't know. To me, it seems weird to call a 20-year-old car a historical vehicle, though. You know? Anyway, I mean, I can understand, like, well, no, I guess not, because, I mean, when I was a kid looking at 60s cars in the 80s, that was only 20 years. So, and they seemed like classic cars then.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Okay, I don't know. I think that's a function of getting old. Your sense of time is weird.
I've never been really good at it.
Like, because when you're a little kid, anybody over, like, 18 seems like they're an old person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when you're, you know, in your 40s, somebody seems like they're 30s is, like, not really any different than... Or somebody that seems like they're 50s or whatever, you know? Doesn't really seem that old anymore. Although Mike's old. Mike's pretty old.
To me, the 90s still don't seem that far away.
Right. I mean, they don't, but that was like 20-something years ago, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's the difference between when I was a kid and I was looking back at the 60s, that was before me, like any of my earliest memories or anything.
I think it's for me too. It's like I forget how far into the 2000s we are.
Yeah.
So like the 80s forever are 20 years ago to me. Like, yeah. Forget everything post 2000. It's like those years don't count. The 90s were 10 years ago, and the 80s were 20 years ago, and the 70s were 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's already like, God, I mean, the early aughts are 15 years ago and shit, you know? I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, because it just sort of, there's a sense of time passing, of course, you know, but it doesn't seem like it's that long ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, weird, man. Very strange. I started thinking about that, too, because I pulled out this album that I really liked from, like, 2002 or something like that. And then I started thinking about that, and I had that album, like, that and a handful of other albums I all had on I burned them off the MP3 and put them on a CD, and then I had a CD Discman that I carried around that could play MP3s, you know? Mm-hmm. Which seems, it seems like a foolishly roundabout way to play MP3s now. You know? But that's what I had then. So, and I, like all five of these albums or whatever in MP3 form could fit on them, like one CD, you know? So I carried that thing around a lot. And all these albums are all sort of like, they're all from like between 2002 and late 2003. And they're all kind of tied together because I listened to them so much back to back and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, tied with like all the experiences that were going on at the time. And like, but that doesn't seem like that was that freaking long ago.
Yeah.
I can remember things I was thinking and the ways I was feeling and music I was listening to. Like, it was just like, not, you know. You get struck by a physical reality of a calendar date, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa. It's kind of like when you see a picture of yourself and you didn't realize you got that fat.
You know? Never happens to me, so I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, really? No, that's happened to me a bunch. Where I didn't realize I'd gotten that big until I saw a picture of myself. Like,
I'm not fat.
Okay.
So that never happens to me.
Okay. But I am off and on fat. So.
Yeah, you're big and fat.
Yes.
Jeez. You're big fat man.
Look, dude, I'm allowed to say it. You're not.
Biggie Fatty. Can I call you Biggie Fatty?
If you want.
Okay. I love you.
Yeah, whatever. Tough love. Yeah, anyway, sorry. Enough of this wool gathering about passage of time. It's only going to get worse as we get older. Eventually, time's going to become meaningless, and we're going to slip into some sort of, like, you know, prophet vision or something, like on Dune, like Muad'Dib. We're going to experience the past, present, and future simultaneously, and our paths will become fixed. Ah, mysticism. So I'm almost done with my last of the Frank Herbert Dune books. And, it's pretty interesting. I actually read more of them than I thought, but I still somehow managed to miss reading books 4 and 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like God Emperor of Dune and Dune Messiah, I think. No, not Dune Messiah. That was the second book.
The Dune Messiah! Yeah!
Heretics of Dune, I think, is what the fifth one was. Heretics of Dune.
A lot of Dune.
That was so much Dune. It was almost Dune's Barry. You know what I'm saying?
Too much Dune.
Yes, too much Dune.
Too Dune, too furious.
But it's sort of interesting in that, you know, I mean, these books are mostly sociopolitic commentary. Like,
political commentary.
Like, you know, it's sort of a real cynical view of government and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Through most of it, and that's mostly what it's about, and it's sort of just couched in sci-fi terms.
Yeah.
Or in a sci-fi setting, I guess, rather.
Yeah.
And but it's strange because, you know, I mean, like I said, when I first started rereading these again, most of them I had read when I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And I read them out of order, I think, because that's just how I used to get books, like wherever I could find a cheap book, kind of thing. So I tended to read a lot of series out of order. But I didn't realize, like, there are things that make an impression on you and you sort of adopt them into your, whatever, your world philosophy, you know?
Yep.
Without realizing it, especially if you don't revisit that source again for a long time. Because there was like, you know, I saw, for, you know, well, in this case, I'm going to try to stay on target.
You're not.
In this case, like, a lot of the political givens, like the political thought, are things that I sort of adopted, I guess, in my thinking and just never really realized this is where it came from. Just the cynicism about it, the idea that, you know, nobody who actually wants to be in power should be in power.
I think what you're describing happens to a lot of people.
And just sort of like, yeah, I mean, because I realized it a long time ago, I realized it too. This is the first time I recognized that happening to me, mm-hmm. was when I was a little kid, I saw the world according to GARP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cable or something, probably. And then I didn't see it again for a long time, and then I watched it again as an adult and realized that it actually influenced me the way I thought in more ways than I knew. Mm-hmm. And I never remembered. I didn't know because I hadn't seen it in so long, you know? And like that, and that, this was like back in the 90s that I realized this. And I'm like, holy shit, like, if I had never seen any of this stuff, would I just have grown up normal? Or whatever, you know? Like, was it the fact that I saw this stuff, or was it that I had the potential to think this way anyway, and this stuff just sort of crystallized it for me?
It is both.
Because it's just, you know, all the little weird stuff that, you know, seeing horror movies at an early age, like slasher movies and stuff, and like, it's not like it turned me into a murderer, but I don't think I necessarily, it changed the way I thought. I didn't think normal for a person of my age, you know, or at least along the standard lines. I'm not saying
this is similar, but not really similar. When Joe Rubenstein inked my Green Arrow pages, I was thrilled, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite things I ever did, and I think it's because I learned how to draw from his inked pages. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. So you were able to see where your influences were.
It's like, this is how I've always wanted to look, because that is how I saw things when I was a kid. And then I realized where it actually, I've made the connection.
Those moments of self-realization, like, they're kind of jarring.
This was not as... yours sounds like you had a little more of an existential problem with it than I did. I was pleased.
Okay, yeah, sure. It's anything. Anything you take for a given, because that's just the way it's been for so long, and you realize that... Either you realize where it came from or whatever, you know, but it's jarring to me. It's like... Well, all reality is really is just an agreed upon consensus so we can get along with each other, right?
You're getting heady as fuck in here. We can't do this.
I'm just saying, it changes everything, dude.
I can't. No, it doesn't change anything.
Changes.
Boobs.
Everything.
Boobs.
Boobs.
We're talking about boobs now. That's how you know that I want out. Is that I was like, I want to talk about
Mike's
boobs.
Desperate. He's talking about tatas.
But dude, boobs aren't even what you think they are.
Oh no! Stop it.
Brandon Sanderson started to kind of like delve into that stuff in some of his books, where he started to play with like cultures that just had just grew up or formed in different environments and just had such vastly different perceptions of reality compared to each other.
Yeah.
Like even just compared to their environments, like people who grew up in these cold environments, just considering, you know, viewing just temperate climates just as blazing hot. And just how it shapes your whole worldview.
Sure.
Or they would like wear a culture that developed where everyone in the culture would wear masks. So coming up onto coming in contact with another culture who did not wear masks, like being like, what do you do with your faces? How do you communicate these things? Or like, and it just was interesting seeing like we've gotten so used to everything kind of being, you know, we have different societies, but they're still kind of related to each other.
Right.
We rarely, except for like hearing about, you know, these like, you know, these tribes in the middle of jungles who have had no contact with the outside world, that concept is so foreign to us nowadays of coming across another culture that has no point of reference with your culture.
You're right, but at the same time we have, you know, especially in America, we have plenty of groups that isolate themselves from other groups, not physically, but mentally, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they even after exposure to another culture, they refuse to actually recognize that it sometimes even exists, if not, you know, it being an invalid thing, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, not... My point is that... I'm not trying to disregard what you're saying. What I'm saying is that, like, that's something we still experience here, you know? Like, culture shock or culture differences or just complete misunderstandings of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, daily, you know? And, I don't know. I mean, that subject's been around in sci-fi for a long time, too. Like, just the idea of... Mostly dealt with in, like, what do you do when you meet an alien race that you have no points of reference to each other? Well, yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's what winds up happening. Somebody dies. You know?
How big is my gun?
Kill it.
Oh. Can we adequately defend ourselves from these other people? Yeah.
Have you seen Mac and Me?
I remember the poster had that weird, like, chubby alien dude, right?
Yeah, that's Mac.
Okay.
That's not me.
That is me. That's what I look like now. I'm just asking. I've never seen it either.
Oh, why are you asking me about it then?
Well, because it's sitting on my desk right now.
Oh, okay. I thought this was your second attempt at boobs.
Boobs! Crank, boobs.
Mac and Me.
Mm-hmm.
I watched something the other night that I was going to ask you if you'd seen, because I thought it was really strange. I thought it'd be something that would be in your, you know, path for watching bad movies kind of thing. It was called Sounds of Silence. It was a late 80s Swedish movie in English language.
No, I haven't seen that.
With a weird cameo by what was it?
By Cameo?
No, that would be pretty cool though, right? No,
it'd be fucking awesome if Cameo made cameos in movies.
Oh, what was his name? Anyway, I don't know this, but this thing was strange. It's about an American couple who they're getting ready to get married or whatever. But the lady has a son, and he's a deaf. I guess he's just deaf, but he doesn't speak because he's deaf too, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they inherit this house from the husband or future husband's some aunt that he never knew existed.
Future husband.
Yes, that's a David Carradine movie.
Future husband is a David Carradine movie.
Exactly.
It's pretty awesome. We all loved it.
Yeah. It was good stuff. You know, part of a good run of. No. Anyway, so they move to Sweden, and then there's a bunch of ghost shit going on and revenge. Like, the ghosts need revenge. It's called Sounds of Silence.
I may have that. Amazon.
But okay, so you know what I'm describing sounds like a pretty straightforward late 80s. Movie, you know. But it's got these weird audio cues and some weird score stuff going on and just weird acting decisions. It's not like the acting is bad, but it's like the reactions to stuff is strange.
Sounds of Silence on Amazon Prime, add to watch list.
Yeah. And, I don't know, man. I thought that one might be kind of like a, you know, up your alley.
Well, it's in there now.
Oh, and it had a weird cameo by Troy Donahue.
there's a 2018 movie called Armenian Haunting.
I've got that in my queue. I haven't seen it yet, though.
No, don't watch it.
Oh, is it bad?
I don't know. Oh. Some of this shit is weird, dude.
Armenian...
Watch out for the crap in Prime, because some of that stuff is barely a movie.
Yeah. I started watching Dogman 2, and...
Dogman?
No, Dogman 2.
What's Dogman 2?
It's the sequel to Dogman.
What's Dogman? Don't you fucking say it's the sequel to Dogman.
Are we doing a Zucker Abrams and Zucker bit?
I'm about to do a punch you in the face bit.
I couldn't find Dogman, so I'm not really sure what... I assume Dogman's about Dogman. Dogman 2, they kill Dogman in the beginning of it. Spoiler alert. And
You went in without knowing about Dogman?
Hey,
watching Dogman 2?
I already explained. I'm used to seeing things out of order, man.
You are a crazy person.
But, so yeah, Dogman 2 opens up. But the thing is Dogman... Dude, he's literally a dude in a dog suit, not in the movie. They think in the movie they think he's a dog man, but like when you're watching it, you know, it's just a dude in a dog suit, not a good dog suit, you know. And I'm like,
sorry.
So I couldn't take more than like 15 minutes of it, 20 minutes. I watched the opening. I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Nope. Little girl from Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Not nude.
Well, do you want me to tell you about the shit I've seen?
Oh, please do.
Let me go look.
Crank, have you ever seen the movie Nights?
From
1993.
Oh, yeah, for some reason I can't get eBay to take my PayPal. I was trying to buy that all night last night.
I don't...
All night?
No, I don't remember a movie called Nights.
Nights!
From when is it?
Lance Henderson! Lance Henderson.
Who's Lance Henderson? I don't think he's very interesting. He probably doesn't make very... He survives all his movies.
Lance Henderson. You die.
You said it was 1993?
Yeah. Starring Lance Henderson. Just look up
Henderson. Oh, it's a
plan.
Pune?
What's all the hell?
In the future, a kickboxer and a robot lead a revolution against ruling cyborgs. It does look familiar.
Yeah, especially when you look at
cyborgs.
Mr. Henderson's face, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Oh, and it's got a Christensen in it.
Chris Christensen, yes, that's how you say that.
It's got Christensen.
This does look familiar, but no, I can't guarantee. I can't confirm that I've actually seen it. How do you say his name? Is it Pune? Pyune?
Pune, I guess.
Pune?
It's Noop.
Nope. So, oh, I watched another one. It's really dumb, but you might like it as a studio watch. It was it's a trauma movie from 2009 called Heavy Mental.
Heavy Mental.
Yeah, it's a take on your classic, you know, guitar with a ghost in it possesses somebody, like as a metal movie kind of thing. But it this one stands out as being different because in this case the possession's a good thing and it turns into a sort of a comic book vigilante movie.
Added to watch list.
But it's not a good movie. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I don't remember adding Iron Soldier to my watch list. I've gone into a fugue state and not just started adding things. Oh my god. Holy shit.
So wait, why shouldn't I watch Armenian Haunting?
I don't know. I've never seen it before. I just saw it.
The description of that actually sounds pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for good things tonight.
Noob Saibot.
And last night I watched... Did you ever see Hard Ride to Hell?
No.
It's got Miguel Ferrer.
Yes, Ferrer.
And Catherine Isabel.
Okay.
She, you know, she was Ginger and Ginger Snaps.
Okay.
And it has to do with, like, undead bikers and evil, like, not satanic, but pre-satanic rituals. And offering, you know, souls up to the gods of Baal for immortality and creating the Antichrist demon baby on Earth and a bunch of campers that come across this thing and then they start getting chased and killed. And it was kind of fun, is all I'm saying. Because suddenly this traveling knife salesman shows up, and he's like an ex-Green Beret or something. And he rescues people. Yeah. Watch it. Hard Ride to Hell.
Okay, I'm listening hard right now.
And, yeah. I can't recommend Shadow Puppets, however. That wasn't very good. That's got James Marsters and Jolene Blaylock in it. Which, you know, you would think would make for a good movie. But it didn't.
Don't Look Back?
No, Shadow Puppets. What are we talking about, Don't Look Back?
Secret.
It just says that on the box. It just says Don't Look Back.
Oh, yeah, and I don't really know why. Because Looking Back doesn't seem to mean much of anything in that movie, context-wise. Oh, and thanks to you, I watched Shriek of the Mutilated. That was horrible.
I didn't watch it. That's funny. I just put that because I thought it was a funny name. It's in my queue, but I haven't watched it.
It's terrible, dude. Like, terrible. Good. Terrible, terrible.
I got you.
It makes no sense. It does make sense. It's a scoop. No, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to watch it because I'm an idiot.
It's terrible in a bunch of ways. So, although it does feature the song Popcorn prominently.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
I watched With Friends Like These.
Oh, what's up?
It's a Canadian anthology horror.
Okay.
It's really stupid.
Oh.
I saw Legend of the Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah? What year is that from?
I don't know. It was a found footage Chupacabra movie.
Oh, yeah. You lost me.
Well, it's terrible. I saw Lancelot, Guardian of Time.
Oh, I've got that in my queue. Is that bad?
Mark Singer is Lancelot.
Right, it's got Mark Singer and somebody else in it, right?
John Saxon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy that plays Styles in Teen Wolf?
Oh, yeah, go.
And this is in the 90s, and he's still playing a teenager. And I'm like, this is weird. Does he still look like that or something?
Let me pause you for a second and ask a question real quick. Is the With Friends Like These that you're talking about the one with Bill Murray or the one with Norman Fell?
Norman Fell.
Oh, okay. Because there's one with Bill Murray, too.
I don't think Norman... I didn't see Norman Fell in that movie.
Oh. Okay, sorry. Go back to what you were saying, though.
It's an extremely Canadian movie. And then I saw Yetis, which was terrible.
I don't remember if I watched it.
I saw Star Raiders, The Adventures of Saber Rain.
That sounds good.
No, it's not. It's a Casper Van Dien Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Oh. Well, that's not so good.
And I saw Death Metal Zombies, which I think when it comes down to it and we start talking about guys like James Nguyen and Tommy Wiseau and Neil Breen, the Todd Jason Falcon Cook needs to be on that list because he's made a strangely large amount of movies.
Wait, so who is this person?
He's just a heavy metal dude that has made a lot of camcorder movies.
Yeah. There's something about those that are so hard to watch.
Something about them that are very hard to watch. But every one of his movies are based around a bunch of dudes that really like heavy metal, and then something bad happens.
All right.
I've seen his movie Demon Dolls and thought I would never have to see another one of his movies again, and I should pay more attention to these movies when I add them to my queue.
And let's be completely honest here. You did it to yourself.
I did do it to myself. I don't blame anybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty, Mike.
Yeah. This is all on me.
Yeah. That's good that you can own up to it, man. You know.
Doing it all for my baby.
Um, I also watched a... Did I already talk about this one? I don't remember. It was a... Yeah, I did. It was Toby Hooper, the Spontaneous Combustion had Brad Dourif in it. I don't know if I talked about it. It was a late 80s movie.
Combustion.
Yeah, the government did these tests to Brad Dourif's parents in the late 50s or whatever.
Tell me about the movie, though.
I am.
The first thing that comes up is Spontaneous Combustion Ghost Pepper. Beef jerky.
Oh, no.
That's not it. No.
What? Add to watch list.
But so they did these experiments with atomics to his parents, and somehow that mutated him in the womb.
And, with atomics?
Yeah.
Atomics. What? Are you from 1956? What do you mean with atomics?
Didn't I just say they did these experiments back in the 50s? Yes, it was with atomics.
Yeesh. But what does that mean with atomics? Do you mean that they were exposed to radiation, or did they blow them up? What did they do?
They did experiments with atomics.
You don't know what that means, do you?
Yeah, they exposed them to atomic radiation from a blast.
Okay.
So, radiation from an atom bomb explosion. Sorry if you really want me to get there. Okay.
So they hulked them.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, sure. They hulked them, but it didn't really, I don't think it did much to them except killed them. But
so they got the realistic version of the whole.
Yeah, except that it somehow did something to him in the womb, though, and so he came out. Well, he's not the Hulk, but he just sets himself on fire.
Like on purpose?
No.
Okay.
He also sets other people on fire, like through the phone and stuff. It's really weird.
Oh.
But he also sets himself on fire, which is strange. It's not a very useful
Does
power.
Does it hurt him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it hurts him like a lot.
That's the worst. So it's not a power.
It's not a superpower. It's like a curse. Yeah.
Oh.
It's just it's a curse that allows him to, you know, give it to other people, to like kill them, too.
You never see that. You never see where it's like, I can do this, but it's going to fuck me up, too.
Oh, yeah.
In Venture Brothers' version of the Fantastic Human Torch was always screaming in pain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, right, and the invisible girl, you could see her muscles.
Yeah, she could only make her skin invisible.
Oh, that's awful.
It was a decent movie. It was worth watching. I mean, just for the Hooper and the Dora factor, you know.
I feel like if we made Chris Crank the animated series, Brad Dourif would play you.
Brad Dourif's pretty awesome.
Yeah, just put the hat on. Striped hat. Totally would work. I mean, he's considerably older than you.
Well, yeah, but you can't tell that in an animated thing, right?
Yeah, that's why I would set the animated series.
Maybe he could do the voice. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I think he could do a spot-on Chris Crank impression.
I just want him to talk like Brad Dourif. He doesn't have to sound like me.
His voice is way smokier, gravelier than
Crank. It can, but it doesn't have to be. It's his instrument. His range is incredible.
And we could get Chris Makepeace on there?
Ooh.
Damn your eyes.
I like that you have to explain Chris Makepeace every time you mention Chris Makepeace.
He just completely falls out of people's memory.
Oh, poor Chris Makepeace.
Who's Chris Makepeace?
Never mind.
He's patron saint of the podcast.
Chris Makepeace is an actor. He's been in many movies, most notably Meatballs and My Bodyguard.
Don't forget Vamp.
I recently.
He was in Vamp. He's also in The Last Chase, which is an awesome movie.
And what was that? Aloha Summer. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Put that pipe and smoke it.
And we'll explain all this again later. Besides which, Chris Makepeace Day Week is coming up soon. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, SDCC soon.
Oh, it's during that?
Yeah. Traditionally, I mean.
I wonder if Chris Makepeace goes to San Diego Comic-Con.
I don't know.
Do you think he has Google Alerts up for his name and the show comes up and we talk about him? Can you put his name in the show notes so that we can...
No, it's been in there before. We, I mean, Chris celebrates Chris Makepeace Day.
He does?
He made up the holiday.
I'm just not in on whatever you guys are talking about.
It's every year, dude.
Happens every year.
We've talked about it, but well, maybe you weren't in the studio. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not here. I missed a lot of
Frank Omega Doom! Sorry, I was looking at movie lists. Anyway, though, whatever. You know. Now you know.
Knowing.
Yep.
It's terrible. It's the worst knowing.
Knowing sucks. It's terrible.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, not knowing is so much better. So
that was the tagline for that movie.
You wish you didn't know.
Yeah. Not knowing is so much better.
Paige just wishes he didn't know.
what else you been watching there, Mike?
That's it for the, that was just this weekend, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been averaging a handful of movies a week, I think. Bad movies. Well,
We watched Pass Through yesterday, which was a Neil Breen movie, and we thought we were going to get, we were unrealistic.
Oh?
Yeah.
He made one film that was very fun accidentally.
Yeah.
And he hasn't managed to make anything else fun ever the rest of his career.
Huh. Going back to what you said about, you know, be careful on Amazon movies. I mean, there's some things that seem like they should be easy to avoid, right? Like Terror at Blood Fart Lake.
Right. That keeps coming up for me, and I don't put it in my queue because I'm like, no, right. No, no.
But
all me about when it was made.
But
yeah, this is a recent movie.
Okay, then it's going to be unwatchable. It's going to be Sharknado.
No, something. Yeah, that one. I mean, it's in the title. It's trying to be fun.
It's
yeah.
not. I mean, it's not long. It's 74 minutes. You know.
Yeah.
And it. It's 2009. It gets decent ratings. I mean, comparatively on.
Yeah, it's all the people that were in it are rating it.
Yeah, I suppose probably. It does have a sequel called Return to Blood Fart Lake.
Yep, it does.
And it also comes grouped all the time whenever I say it recommended with another movie called Moist Fury.
I haven't seen that come up, but that's funny. I like Moist Fury.
Yeah. Also Sex Squatch. Don't forget that. Yeah.
I have seen that too. Oh, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen that come up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, I don't usually see the movies that I'm in.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are things that you should, that you would think that you should just be able to take for granted is, hey, I'll avoid this, right?
Yeah.
But I suspect at least the first Terror at Blood Fart Lake might not be too bad.
Okay. See, that's where you'll make your mistake.
Yeah. You're gonna pay for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're gonna get breened.
Yeah.
You're gonna get breened real bad.
We're gonna get breened again, I'm sure, somehow.
I'm breened on a daily basis, dude.
You seek out breening.
I am breening myself, but. Mm. I don't blame anybody about the breening, and I never complain. I never say, hey, this movie is...
Maybe you should complain.
It should have stopped me.
Maybe you should ask them to stop you.
No.
I mean, I should have stopped buying them.
I walked down this path, this lonely path.
Here you go again on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Except you're not alone. You drag people with you.
Well, that's true. I do watch a fair amount of them and make people listen to them. But not all of them. And sometimes I ask if they want me to turn it off.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
I
these movies are a lot easier to listen to than watch. to be fair. In my defense,
I Close Encounters of the Inbred Redneck Kind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, terrible!
Yeah, see, that seems like one I should feel safe in avoiding.
I mean,
but there's always that fear of missing out.
FOMO.
Yeah. What is it? Legal Lovers.
Legal Lovers?
It's a movie from 1994. let's look at the description on this one, shall we? Because it's got one of those terrible, you know how like some of those cover images they show you on Amazon are just like, they look like somebody threw them together out of internet images or something?
Yeah.
This is one of those. It says, and the description is very brief. It says, a group of attorneys oversee the amorous shenanigans of their clients on the verge of divorce.
That is a softcore porn movie.
It's an hour and 44 minutes.
What?
It's from 1994, and it gets one review, which is a 5-star review. But it's titled Early 90s Erotic Legal Thriller.
I told you. It's a softcore porn movie.
Oh, and here's one called Point Doomy. It's spelled D-U-M-E, but I'm sure it's meant to be pronounced Doomy.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's... I think that's it's supposed to be Point Doom.
No,
it's Joe Esteves' movie.
The cover is like a guy laying on top of a girl in their, like, locked face.
I think.
Oh,
yeah,
it's got Robert Zadar in it.
Yeah, I have that in my queue.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you think...
Robert Zadar make.
He's made a fuck ton.
You think that is supposed to be pronounced Doom?
I need rules for that man.
What'd you say?
Which one?
Crank.
Oh, you think it is supposed to be pronounced Doom?
I think it is. I think it's supposed to be some kind of thriller.
Huh. Yeah, from the cover, I just assumed it was Doom.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know
it
about that?
It could be. It could be. This is. We finally found one where we're just like,
Right? I mean, it could be a play on words. I don't know. Point Doomy.
Let's find out. Let's watch it right now.
No, we don't have to watch it right now. I mean, that seems like a bit of an excessive response.
No.
I think it sounds like the exact response.
I don't know.
Huh. What? Can you possibly wait until we're done?
No, we have to figure out how you pronounce it. This is important.
Where to go? It's in my list here.
Does this movie never exist? Are you guys making this up?
Point Doomy.
Oh, it's cinema epic. I've seen many of their movies.
They flooded Amazon recently, yeah.
All right, this looks like a drama. This looks like The Room, actually.
That's a pre-room room? I guess.
Exactly how this
yeah,
is going to go down,
a boom.
I can't tell you.
And a man.
And the tiniest little things out of place.
This guy's...
And a lamp.
He's got weed in his bag, so there's criminal activity in it, but I don't see any action in it.
For so long. While all the rest
there are sex scenes, but not a lot of nudity.
Look, if it's so foolproof, how come you've got me doing your dirty work?
I think this is a room-like movie.
They won't go for it.
Huh.
I'm too high.
Bullshit, Harlan.
So,
yep, there's Joe Esteves.
So do we... Which way are we leaning here? Is it Doom or Doomy?
Zadar is looking real bad in this movie.
Breaking my
heart. Alright, so...
Is that Esteves' actual voice? What is... What is Zadar wearing around his neck?
Some sort of chin support?
No, that's just to keep his hat on.
Yeah, I think this is supposed to be some kind of thriller drama. It is definitely not Point Doomy.
Are we sure?
Are
we sure it's not Doomy?
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay.
Unless you want me to watch more and wait for somebody to say Point Doomy.
Do you think anybody's actually going to say Point Doom in it?
Well, I mean, there's got to be a reason why a movie's named that, right?
No, not necessarily.
Be at Point Doomy. Someone's going to say it.
Does anybody ever say Point Break in Point Break?
Yeah.
Do they?
Larry Break says it.
Where?
Larry Break.
Yeah,
Larry I didn't know they got Larry Break for that.
Don't point at Break. And they said, don't point Break. It's like, no, point at Larry
don't
Break.
Point at Break.
That's my name, Larry Break.
And then he says, don't wear it out.
Point Break. I'm out. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm unconvinced. But whatever. We'll leave it up in the air. All right.
All right. I'm just telling you. According to my expert opinion.
Meow.
What was that?
What was that?
Oh. I don't like this. Why?
See, Fred, they're able to do that. It's crank compression.
Well, you know. Okay, then. So, do we have an email?
I don't know. Let me look.
Okay.
I'm drawing dead alien people. Like, pieces of dead alien people.
So was their culture just so different the only thing we knew to do was just kill them?
No, these guys were killed by angels.
Oh, they were touched by angels.
They were touched by angels. Oh, they were touched by Chris Angel.
Working on an illustration for a new Furious Astronauts beer koozie.
Ooh.
Coming back, baby. Very soon.
Beer. Beer hates astronauts.
The Midwest Comic Con Comic Book Association has sent their panel schedule for their MSP Comic Con 2018.
Are you in it?
Would you like to know it?
Are you in it?
No.
Is anybody we know in it?
I don't think so.
I don't know what the show is.
I don't either.
Me neither. So I will leave it up to you.
No, it's just a...
They sent it to the Crankcast?
Yeah.
Email? Interesting.
Okay. Henrik from Denmark writes, "Hi, Crank Mike and other awesome folk. I haven't had much time to write in lately, but I still listen and enjoy every episode. Infinity War talk. I have seen the movie twice now, and I think it might be the best superhero movie I've ever seen. Have you guys seen it? And if so, what do you think of it? Just a short email this week. Keep on cranking. We have yet to talk about it because Ryan hasn't seen it."
Who is this from?
Mark.
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't either, but I don't care if you talk about it or not. People who worry about spoilers are just, you know, weak of mind.
I really enjoyed it.
Screw you, Crank.
John from Tennessee writes.
Okay.
He includes artwork. Hello, Mike, Crank, and 4-Star crew. As always, thanks for the show. I honestly enjoy randomness of it as it helps me to decompress during my commute that has turned into a fairly stressful job.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate to hear.
Yes.
His job is commuting?
My commute from what has turned into it. My movie and TV collection has grown a bit as well, thanks to you guys. Ooh.
Not with the shit we talk about.
Mount Doom.
Mount Doomy.
Is that what it's called? Point Doom?
Point Doom.
Point Doomy.
Finished up Space Above and Beyond in Battlestar Galactica recently, and currently trying to decide on the next series to binge. Any suggestions? I would suggest Lost in Space, because I'm watching that, and it's real good.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about that so far.
I tried to watch Lex the other night, but stopped after half an episode.
Half of the first episode? Oh, you got to make it past that.
Really, Lex begins season two.
I like weird sci-fi, but I guess I wasn't feeling it. On the movie side of things, I watched Chopping Mall last weekend. That's a good one.
Yep.
Hadn't seen it in a long time. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that Lex isn't weird and it isn't hard to get through even after season two, but yeah, really, you got to kind of, the first season's rough.
Right? Am I remembering that right? Isn't season two a little bit different?
Well, was it season two or season three? It's whenever they switch up the main character.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe three then.
When they switch her actors, because when they also switch the writing style a bit or something.
Yeah, it changes.
Yeah, like it does. It goes through tonal shifts and gets a little more organized in some ways, but it's also like, I don't know. Yeah, it's not as erratic as it is at first.
It becomes slightly less horny.
Yeah, it's not as much of a sex romp, right? So if you're looking for the sex romp, maybe maybe you won't want to stop after that. Like,
No, don't watch it at all, says Mike. I've never seen an episode. I don't know.
It's really not. It's not a bad series overall. It's just weird.
I mean, how can you not like a show where the ship is a giant ball and penis?
That is also an insect.
Two balls, sorry.
It's trying to say something.
And it's also an insect.
It's a ball insect?
It's a ball and penis insect.
Ball and penis insect. It's a dick sect.
Dick sect, yes. Go get your dick sect.
Okay.
What is happening?
As we transition to John from Tennessee's daughter, Kaylee has opened the Pandora's box into the world of Copic markers. Dollar, cha-ching, dollar sign. Those things are pricey. She used to have her own money and bought some flesh tones that took her 20 minutes to pick out. I got her some Blick Studio markers online that are similar but not refillable. Have any of you guys used these? Any tips? She picked out a few more sketches to share, so I'll attach those below. Thanks again.
So. I loved them in high school and college. But
they are pretty pricey, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
And they don't last very long if you use them?
Some of them.
Not bad drawings, not bad. They don't look like they're done with markers, though.
I know.
Those are pretty good.
You can also look, because they sell
them. This one, this looks like some kind of 80s, like, this person has, like, a super mullet.
You could also try to see if she'd like them. They sell refillable aqua brush type water brush pens for like, you're supposed to be able to use them for, you know, watercolors and stuff. But you can also stick inks in them instead of water. They're brush pens, so it's not the same thing as using like a Copic marker. But
yeah. I've used the Blick Studio markers, but I'm not an expert by any means. I just use whatever has ink in it.
Yeah.
I don't find a quality difference between them.
That was going to be my next question. Like, Copics compared to... I'm sure that there's got to be a difference between, like, Copics compared to...
No, if you have a blender marker, they're all pretty much the same thing.
I find the color in Copic to be cleaner.
Yeah?
Like, what about just Crayola markers?
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Their colors are bright.
Their colors are bright.
So what's functionally... I mean, what's... What makes a Copic better than a Crayola marker? Like
alcohol.
Yeah, you can get tired of color and you can get drunk.
The Copics have a lot of alcohol on them, which allow them to be blended. Hmm. Isn't it? That's right, right?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
But, I mean, if you're covering, like, large areas and stuff, you still get overlap and things, right? I mean,
a good Copic should be able to lay flat.
Yeah, it does lay decently flat.
Oh.
Because the alcohol doesn't dry as fast... Something like that.
It
dries faster.
Yeah.
Anyway, it allows it to be a little. Yeah.
Huh.
But you can reactivate it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The alcohol reactivates as you're going over, and that's why it
smooths your edges. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you're working with just like an ink and brush, would the ink benefit any from adding like alcohol to it?
I don't know.
And would you get that same effect? I'm wondering. Like,
I don't know if alcohol would ruin ink or not.
Hmm.
I don't know how that works.
Scientists?
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm asking these questions from a complete position of I have no idea what I'm asking, even because I don't work with them.
Correct position.
Well, welcome to Sean's lab.
I mean, Crayola. That's about my extent. You know, that's what I know.
I just know Payola.
That's what we're into. Payola.
Yeah. Dollar bills.
Dollar bills. Mike, do you sell Battlepug pens anywhere online? I have a mini Battlepug fan that was not happy with her father not getting one when Kaylee and I saw you in Dyersburg.
Oh.
No, I don't sell them online.
Why don't you?
What?
Why don't you have an Etsy or something?
Because then I got to send the stuff, and I'm not very good at that.
It is annoying.
That is true. You are not good at sending stuff. That reminds me. Do you still have any of those Battle Pug prints left?
The big ones?
The big white ones with the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still have any of those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get you one. I won't ever send it to you, but...
Right, right. No, I understand that. What about...
I'm sorry.
Did you ever do new Battle Puck stickers, or are they still the same ones?
The same ones.
Okay.
Do you want new ones?
I was just wondering if there were ever any new ones. I was actually looking at the base I was working on, that SG base, and since somebody fucked up the headstock by trying to make a fake Gibson out of it, I was like, I should just put a sticker on the headstock. And I was trying to think of what sticker I wanted to put on there. I was like, maybe I could put a Battle Pug sticker on there. Then it'd be a Battle Pug base. You know?
I like that. Do it.
But I didn't know if there was new stickers or old stickers or what, you know.
Check and send you. Ask Mike for a sticker to put in there. Did you eat that Clif Bar I sent you?
I did eat the Clif Bar.
Yeah, you've been poisoned. I got you.
That was
you got poisoned.
It was an unusual experience.
You packed in with a paycheck.
So you say you eat those daily?
I don't eat them daily, but sometimes I'll buy a box and have them for a breakfast or lunch, and I eat at my table.
Uh huh. They seem very very calorific.
They seem very calorific. Well, the great news is that you can actually read how many calories are in it on the wrapper.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They seem pretty calorific.
They're not super calorific. They have more sugar in them than I wish.
Are they super calorific expialidocers?
Hey, dude, you started this shit.
Well, actually, he did by sending me a Clif Bar.
No.
This one's on him, man.
Did it put a spring in your step for the rest of the day?
Yep, it pumped me up.
Yeah.
I was able to get through the rest of the crazy work day.
Okay. See?
Yeah. Nice. So, I'm sorry, where do we leave off with the mail?
Oh, that's it. That's all from the mail.
Thanks for writing.
I'm sorry, I don't have any pen for you.
Because he does not sell them online.
Don't sell them online.
Because he's very bad at sending stuff.
I got stuff.
You know, I've always said we should just have the Force Red Studios full store of anything that everyone wants to sell, and then it can all be packaged together. Just saying.
Then you'd have to hire somebody to do your store, though.
No, I'm just going to use the company that I'm going to use for doing the Kickstarter fulfillment.
Oh. You got a fulfillment company.
There and get them to mail out all my shit.
Is that what they call it, a dropship?
That's not what I'm using.
You're a dropship.
Oh. But, huh. Well, cool. Very cool.
Real cool.
All right, I should read what's in stores this week. So... Aardvark Vanaheim's got a book called Love in Aardvarks in stores today.
Sure it does.
That's what it says. That's
sure
interesting.
It's real comic.
It's a Cerebus book. Yeah. Huh. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's just like a book about showing panels from Cerebus and like behind the scenes stuff.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I bet it's not a real comic. I bet it's just like a bonus. I don't know.
Why wouldn't
the equivalent of a clip show?
Why wouldn't Why wouldn't Dave Sim be putting out new books?
Well, he hasn't done. I mean, I haven't been following service, but it ended, right? So
Maybe he started it up again. I don't know.
He's making new service content. Well, maybe he is.
What do I know?
I don't know.
Hey, I didn't even know that. What the heck? There's a ROM Micronauts out. ROM Micronauts crossover series, mini series, maxi series, mini series, 5-issue mini series. Huh. That's pretty kooky. And also issue 182 of Femforce. That comic's just been around forever, man.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
It really is. I mean, it's like totally kooky.
Yeah.
80s, I think? Was it the 80s that that first started coming out? As a black and white book or something like that?
Yeah.
Man.
That's when it first started.
So weird.
It has to have taken a break in between there.
I guess so. I mean, what would you... Let's see. 182 divided by, say, 12, if it was monthly. Yeah, that would only account for 15 years. And I know it's been around at least 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, the first time I remember seeing it was early 90s, like 93 or something like that. And it was into it by then, so. I don't know. So yeah, I guess so. But I think it's had spinoffs and miniseries and stuff too. Not to mention like that whole 90s thing about swimsuit issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Swimsuit issues.
Swimsuit issue.
Swimsuit.
Yeah. It's just going to be an actual comic.
There's not going to be any swimsuits in it?
There won't be swimsuits in it, yeah.
Because that would be a misleading...
It's not going to be pinups of characters in swimsuits.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about swimsuits the other day. Because,
You were thinking about swimsuits. Okay, tell us about
it. See, here's the thing.
Alright.
I talked recently about having... I had to get new health insurance, right? So... I finally got signed up for new health insurance, and you know, when they sent me a packet, the insurer wants me within the next 90 days to get a wellness check, like an initial wellness check. So I have to set up an appointment with the doctor, and I have not been to see a doctor for anything but like an emergency room visit in late teens, early 20s, I think was when last time I did that. I just haven't had to for anything but emergencies, you know, like.
I appreciate this story.
So, but the thing is, so I was asking my mom, like, well, when you go and get a checkup and stuff, I'm like, do you have to, like, get naked? Because I'm not really comfortable being naked, you know? And, and I'm not even comfortable being partially naked.
Don't I know it?
Yeah, you do.
Well, your prostate is wildly inflamed and you don't even know it.
It might be, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
oh, you're going to find out.
So, you know, I was asking, but I was thinking about that, like, because I don't even like being partially naked. Like, I don't go to the beach or anything. And my idea of a beach swimsuit is, like, those old 30s kind of look like wrestler outfits, you know?
Like, you've never worn one of those.
That's my idea of a proper beach attire.
Stripes on them, like your app.
Yeah.
Get down to those stripes.
But that's my idea of proper beach attire is what I'm saying, you know?
Sure.
So...
Stop acting like you know what he's talking about.
My swimsuit issue would consist of people dressed like that.
I mean, I understand what he's saying. He doesn't want to get naked at all.
I'm not comfortable. I don't mind other people's nudity so much. I'm just not comfortable with my own nudity. You know.
Well, the doctor is going to make you pose for a lot of pictures, and you have to say yes to all of them.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have to sign what do they call that? Release form.
Release form. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of pretty creepy.
Yeah, well, that's
that's how you stay healthy.
That's what a doctor does, man.
I don't like this doctor thing.
He's going to get up in there with a camera, too. Yeah. So
how do you know it's going to be a he? I haven't picked my doctor yet.
Well, there's the one guy. It's just the one guy.
Yeah, there's one doctor in this world. It's quite a wait to get in there, but... Yeah.
There's one doctor guy.
It's hard being a doctor. You expect more than one person to know how to do it?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about this whole doctor thing, you know.
Yeah, well, you're about to. You're not gonna like it.
About to know very intimately all about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to know is, all right.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you guys aren't gonna really know, and I don't know. I mean, something I need to talk to the doctor about. But
doctors about 100,000 times in my life, so let's go.
What I'm saying is, like a lot of stuff they put you on medication for. Couldn't you just control that with lifestyle choices?
Not everything.
But not everything, certainly not everything.
I mean, I guess if you're like type 1 diabetes, you need to have the insulin and stuff, but...
Uh-huh.
But like if you're just, if your cholesterol's high, can't you just change your diet? Do you have to take cholesterol medication? Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless you want to die.
Your body needs help regulating things.
Hmm.
It's a genetic predisposition.
And if I manage to make it this far, do I really need to see a doctor?
Yes, this is when you're in your decline, my friend.
I've been in my decline for a long time, man.
Yes, exactly. So you need help. This is when you need help.
Do I need help? Really?
I mean, it's up to you, dude.
I mean, I don't know. This whole thing seems like a lot.
This is madness.
This whole thing seems like a lot of bother over nothing. You know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. What I don't know can't hurt me.
That's crazy thinking.
Is it?
Yes. 100%. Knowledge. Lagan is not fucking Roadrunner in the cliff, dude.
Next thing you're going to be telling me is I got to get kids vaccinated and shit. I mean, come on. For real?
This is considerably more maddening to me than any Smallville talk.
Well, I appreciate that you're concerned for my health.
I mean, I don't want to letter my own comics. See what I'm saying?
Huh?
I do see what you're saying.
I don't understand.
If you become infirm, and I prefer the firm crank.
We all prefer firm crank.
Then I have to letter my own shit. And I'm not good at it.
Oh. Okay.
You see?
I see. Well, it's also...
Hospital crank is probably not going to be bothered to letter things for me.
I also do appreciate the fact that you've renewed my cynicism in mankind, and it does turn out that you're not concerned with my health. It's more of just a, you know, best interest kind of thing, self-interest. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. But yeah, anyway, so my insurance wants me to go see my doctor, so I got to go pick out a doctor. What's a good doctor to pick out? How do you pick out your doctor? If you've never been to a doctor, how do you pick a doctor out? Does it just? I was just gonna go by how close they were, so it's easy to get there.
Yeah, you could do that. You want one that takes your insurance?
Right.
That's helpful. Well, your insurance company will help you.
Sorry, I meant to. I should have stated that. I'm going through the insurance company's, you know, preferred provider list or whatever. The list of people that work with them. You know.
It's nice to meet with someone and see if they're someone you're comfortable with, because they're going to be poking a prod in you. So it's nice to have someone that you're cool with.
Right.
Most men use a male GP and most women use a female GP, but you don't have to.
Also, someone that seems like they're going to be a good advocate for you for figuring out stuff.
Oh, right. Because you were saying that your doctor like was actually pointing stuff out for you, right? Or something.
Yeah, like my doctor went and looked and figured out where to get the cheapest scan for me.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Price wise, because he knew at the time that I didn't have insurance. That stuff's kind of nice. Sure.
But I mean, you don't know any of that stuff, do you? Actually,
you don't know it until you
don't. But you're gonna want to go a couple times and then see if maybe there's somewhere else you can go. The other hard thing sometimes is that a lot of times these guys don't have openings at places. Like a lot of family places only have room for so many patients.
Yeah. I put the filter on my list that says only show me people that are accepting new patients. So
there you go. Yeah, I think you've got this fine. You go, and if they seem like they're pushing you out the door, which a lot of doctors I've seen do, then try a different one.
Okay, but it isn't crazy, like all things being equal, to start with somebody that's just close, right? Because
yeah. I mean, that's you can start with that. I mean, a lot of you can look up the doctor and look up their credentials, and frequently you can find reviews and people talking about them. It's just like if you were hiring a plumber or something.
So they have like Yelp for doctors or whatever?
Just Yelp,
I think Yelp.
I wouldn't use Yelp as your only place, but yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, doctors get reviewed just like any other kind of service provider.
I mean, I know I sound like I'm being as silly as I normally sound, but these are actually like, I don't know. These are questions I'm asking, you know?
Yeah, and these are your answers, I think.
Okay. I'm making it clear that I'm not making a joke out of this. I just don't know. You know?
Yeah. Well, if this was a joke, it would not be a very good one.
Well, according to Mike, none of my jokes are very good jokes.
I didn't say that.
You at least implied that often.
No, I don't think I've implied it.
Yeah.
I think you've implied it by not being funny.
See, that's what I'm saying.
No.
When you're looking for a doctor, judge a lot of it off of what their last name is. So you want to look for either like a Dr. Feelgood, a Dr. Healthy.
You do.
A Dr. Pick-me-up.
Like a good old-fashioned fear. Like, I like the other way.
Dr. Fear?
Yeah.
I do like Dr. Fear.
Dr. Disease.
Dr. Detroit.
Dr. You want Dr. Medico, Detroit. Would be good.
Dr.
Famine.
Dr.
Yeah,
Famine.
Doc Famine.
Doc Famine.
That's that's my dietitian, right?
Doc Famine?
Yeah.
Doc Shaner. You can ask him.
You do want to ask Doc Shaner.
What's up?
There's a reason he has that name.
What's up, Doc? Right? Hello, nurse.
Don't look up reviews for a doc for boats. That's not what you need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. So leave the K off is what you're saying.
Yes.
What if I spell it D-O-K-T-O-R? Doctor.
Doctor. Well, you'll get a He-Man.
You'll get a He-Man guy.
He-Man health professional.
Which we probably want, right? I mean...
The doctor?
The doctor? Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Well, the doctor, I mean, the doctor's probably too busy saving the universe or something.
Yeah, don't search for a doctor by typing Doctor Who. That's not going to help you.
Doctor what?
Doctor where?
Doctor huh?
Doctor hey! Doctor gimme. No, anyway, now I feel like we've turned this into a joke. I could be wrong. Mike can confirm.
That's how you bring comfort to a serious situation.
Mike.
Okay, different viewpoints and different... Like, to me, it's not that... Like, again, I understand you find this a very serious subject because you've had to deal with a lot. It's half a joke to me because I don't really know anything about it because I've never really had to worry about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so I don't know what to... I mean, I am nervous that they're going to find something. And I'm like, well, shit, if I never went, they would have never found it.
Yes, but it's already there.
But it's like it's like Schrodinger's thing, you know? I mean, if you don't actually observe it, is it really there?
No, it does. It is there.
How do you know it's there if you don't observe it?
It's there.
I mean, it's in a what do they call it? Indefinite state. A quantum state? Indefinite state. But, I don't
know. Early detection is the key to... recover from a lot of maladies. Thus, you should go find out.
I've got this negative impression of doctors that pretty much you go there, they find something wrong with you, and then they put you on pills.
No.
Like, and then you're just stuck being on pills for the rest of your life. But, you know?
Oh, no. You have to take pills, Crank.
I ain't got money for pills.
Crank. Well, once you get insurance, you might.
I ain't got the money for insurance that covers pills. I got the bare bones insurance, man.
Not the skills to take the pills.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you're dead then.
I guess.
When can I look forward to quitting the podcast?
Yeah. This is the final episode of Crank Time.
Well, I'll let you know once I've got my wellness check accomplished. And we'll figure out, you know, an appropriate... Hopefully I'll have enough, you know, forewarning that we can end the show logically. And not just stop it, you know. We can have a last show. Wrap everything up. Tie up all the loose threads.
What should we do on the final show of Crankcast to make it special?
I don't know. You know?
Okay.
Just a chance to say goodbye, you know?
Oh, God! I don't like this! This is so sad!
You took it there.
Come on.
You took it there.
I did. Yes, I did. I did. Oh, God.
This is on you.
Is it?
Yeah. All right. Sorry. I'm still trying to get through the what's in stores this week list. I forget. What's Tim working on for DC?
I don't know. He's not here, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, but Jenny's got a Wonder Woman cover in stores.
Nice.
For 40. I assume she always does.
I'm saying Wonder Woman's in stores this week. So.
No, it's not.
That's what it says.
Okay, it is.
46. It's in stores.
You're 46.
Your face is 46. We are 148. Oh, from Dynamite, Barbarella number 6 is in stores.
Baba Baba?
Yeah, I lettered that.
Baba Papa?
Did you get this Dynamite work because of me getting you on Hero Killers?
Did I get... So what?
Your dynamite work, did you get that because I got you on Hero Killers?
I guess in a roundabout way. When I saw that they were doing a Barbarella, I got a hold of the same editors that were, you know, Matt and Kevin.
Yeah.
And they turned out to be the editors that were working on Barbarella, so I said, hey, do you need a letter? And then they said,
well, I guess technically I worked on Barbarella.
That's great.
Sweet.
How did you technically work on Barbarella? I don't...
Because I got the lettering would not be the lettering it is if it weren't for me. So that's my influence.
That's a good point.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm down with that assessment.
Thank you.
But technically, if you didn't know like the other 4-star guys, then you know you would have never known about me.
So I worked on it, is what you're saying.
And we would have never worked together like on the GHA stuff to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess what we're looking at is that
we've worked on Barbarella.
Barbarella should be on all of 4-star's comic book database page.
Right, right. All of us have worked on Barbarella.
All of us. Except for them work.
I would honestly really like to do something
with Barbarella. See, now I'm getting Sean excited.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They got like 8 covers an issue. Oh,
really?
Sorry. Two of them are like black. Two of them are like black and whites, but
Barbara Papa.
But so they've got like, you know, 6 covers an issue. So if you get a hold of the editors, you know, you might be able to set something up there. Huh?
Yeah, Idelson just texted me like a half hour ago. Should I just respond? Ignore what he said and just respond.
Hire Sean Dove.
Barbarella.
Yeah, I'm gonna start out.
He's already started.
I'm dropping everything I'm doing.
Sean had started on your Barbarella cover.
So yeah. So there you go. Kyle Strom's got and he's sort of, you know, I've worked with him, so it's related. But he's got a pumpkin head in stores today.
Yeah, Strombone.
Strom is a pumpkin head, is what you just said?
No, he's got a pumpkin head.
He's doing all the pumpkin head
cards. So he's a pumpkin head.
He's been playing his Strombone
pumpkin. The Stromboni.
No.
Stromboli?
I call him Kylie Stromogue.
That is the worst.
What? Come on.
What?
You're never going to come with any better than Strombone.
Strombone. Froggy went to court and he did right. Strombone.
Weirdo! Get off my phone!
Froggy went to court and he did right.
Get out of here!
Strombone.
Stop it! You weirdo!
Just some slappy hambone.
Why were you asking me if I made up that name?
Because, okay, for some reason, I know why.
That's like a historical thing. I think that's an old
thing.
Well,
I tried looking it up online and I didn't get any hits.
I don't know. I've been saying it since I was a teenager.
But, okay, so my mom took the leftover Easter ham and with the bone and all and put it in a crock pot with some greens and some potatoes and shit, you know? And that's what we had on Sunday for dinner. And I was thinking about ham bone, and then from there I went to slappy ham bone, and I couldn't figure out why slappy ham bone was in my head. And I couldn't figure out where it came from, is what I'm saying. So that's why I texted you and asked if it was one of your bits. Like.
So, yes, I made up the term slappy ham bone.
So slappy ham bone.
Slappy
ham bone. Nobody. It's just something I use for a generic name when I can't think of somebody's name.
I like that name.
Slappy ham bone. So, anyway, that's why I was asking about that before. So, the other slappy hambone.
Sloppy hambone.
Slappy hambone.
Sloppy hand job is what you're saying.
What?
That's what you said.
Man, you got weird pretty all of a sudden. Sure.
How long is this episode? This I is know. Crazy.
Pretty sure that's what you said.
Did we start at 11:30?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you guys are probably about ready for lunch, huh?
I'm hungry.
Oh my god, it's 1:30? Fuck you, Crank. Oh, I gotta eat.
You, I'm not holding you here at gunpoint. Jeez, dude.
It's like it. Regrets.
You'd hang up right now if you cared about us.
Well, okay. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can reach Sean at thankyouforflying.com. I think Ryan's currently like in the ether as far as web stuff goes.
Sounds like Crank has the
And, oh my, I got the vapors.
Don't give him more to talk about.
And
the vapors just
farting. No, don't talk to him.
I think that was Addison that I heard earlier. It was AddisonDuke.com.
AddisonDuke.com.
And
website. You have the vapors as when you're hot.
Yeah.
What is what?
Okay, bye, Crank.
How does that
okay,
make any
well,
sense?
It's like when you're kind of that little bit of sweaty, you know, but not like sweating.
Bye.
Vapors.
The vapors.
Goodbye.
Bye.
No, I think you said.